flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
248-539-9797. Sean is on 97 on the ticket. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's good, Sean.
Good, good. Listen, yes, I'd love to be enjoying my team, the Lions. I think we've been waiting for this so long. In the past couple of years, we've been sitting at a point where it's like, hey, this is reality. But me personally, I hate Philly. And sorry if you guys like it. But I would rather see history on either side. You have a rookie that made it to the Super Bowl in Washington with Jaden Daniels. And then you have Kansas City going for their three-peat. Granted, not a big KC fan, but, you know, why not see something either way? Now, the other thing, can you imagine what the Kansas City Swifties are going to bring to New Orleans, the money that they're going to bring? So I'm telling you, you need to have Kansas City in the Super Bowl because it's going to bring a lot of economic whatever to New Orleans, and I think that's what the powers to be want to see. Enjoy your show, guys.
So you're, just to be clear here, you're rooting for Kansas City because of the economic impact on New Orleans?
No, I'm just saying it's the story behind it. You know, whatever. Look, I'm still seething. I didn't go to sleep till 2 Sunday morning, and then woke up at 5 Sunday morning after our loss, because everybody knew, hey, Sean, Lions look like they're going to do it, look like they're going to do it, and then we deal with that. So right now, I don't know, I might be suffering from a concussion or something like that.
Oh.
But, why not? I hate Philly, and I'm sorry, I'm not a Bills fan. I wasn't since, you know, my namesake was a running back there decades ago, and I'll just let you guys figure that out when I say my namesake. And
we're not going to get it. Just tell us.
O.J. Simpson. That's my last name.
Oh, your name's okay. O.J.?
No, his last name's Simpson.
Oh, gotcha.
we wouldn't have got
OJ.
That.
OJ, yeah.
Sean, we wouldn't have got that.
Right,
the one thing about this is everybody's allowed to have their own motivations, why they root for or against something.
Yeah, whether it's Buffalo or Kansas City has no difference in the economic impact on New Orleans. None. The game's still sold out. All the hotel space is still sold out. All the foam fingers are still going to be purchased. Same amount of beer. Same amount of hurricanes out there on Bourbon Street.
I would say that Kansas City has a greater economic impact as a whole because it brings along the Swifties. But it probably doesn't impact New Orleans. Probably impacts some TV ratings and some marketing opportunities to market to somebody other than just the fans, because they bring in non-football fans.
Fresh blood, though.
But I don't even really care.
They show Taylor Swift every time Kelce does something.
Yep.
Every time.
Yep.
And did you see the last time that Caitlin Clark was in the suite, man?
Yep.
Like,
we should have a contest pick who is going to be in the suite next, because it's whatever's like the new hotness, like that really is taking the country by storm. They're going to end up in Taylor Swift's suite at a Chiefs game. 100%.
Someone dressed as crypto coin is going to be in the suite next. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yep. Okay. Alex Bregman. Like, there are places where we're like 16 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting. There's been a feeling that the Tigers have had this standing offer for Bregman for a while. And there's been no movement, no rumors, nothing. I can't help, Gator, but shake the feeling that he does not want to sign here. I can't shake that feeling that, that deep down he is just waiting for a better offer.
I think this is all on his agent, Scott Boras. I think Scott Boras promised him he was going to get a certain number, and no one's come near that number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about Boras trying to save face, and he's trying to play this out to the last minute so he can get the last dollar from teams. That's why you still hear him saying there's plenty of teams that still have interest in him, lots of interest. And yet people that are reporting on it are saying that's not the case, that it's really come down to the Red Sox and the Tigers, and now apparently the Astros are back in it, that their original offer could still stand. And I'm not sure if I even believe that. I saw something last night. Oh, we have three sources that have said the same thing. I wonder if all those sources are just, you know, going back to Scott Boras, and maybe Scott Boras is generating this. I really feel like this is what's going on. The offer is 6 years and $156 million from Houston. This has been, 5 weeks that was out now or whatever it is? It's a long time. If anybody wanted to beat it, they could have beaten it. But if Boras is promising Bregman $200 million and nobody's coming near it, and then it comes in the whole play, okay, well, how about lesser years, but we'll give you more than $30 million annually, and he doesn't want to do that because he's promised Bregman something else. Maybe Bregman doesn't want to do that either because he wants as much as he can get. I think it's quite possible what you say is right. It's quite possible. I just think it's more on the agent trying to save face and say, look, before you make a decision, let me continue to cook here. Let me continue to work. You don't need to be on anybody's team for another few weeks here. The figure which free agent it was that didn't sign until like February 28th last year, but there was somebody way late in the process that signed for big money. So it can still negotiate for bigger money. I'm just not sure how much bigger than 156 you're going to get.
Houston being back involved might kill this possibility, but over the last few weeks, I'm like seeing there's just no movement on Bregman. There's nothing on Bregman. And I was thinking to myself, this could actually work out perfect for the Tigers, in that the concerns are the long-term commitment to Bregman when his career offensively might be trending in the wrong direction, and going from Houston to Detroit could have a major impact on that. And I'm not anti-Alex Bregman. I'm anti-Alex Bregman for what has been reported would be the kind of contract he would get, which seems to be 6 years and you know,
156.
Pushing north of that. And I would say why this could work out perfectly is because maybe Bregman would agree to approve a deal in Detroit. Maybe the Tigers would offer him a massive 1 year contract that he would accept and say, I'll just do this again next year. And that he would sign a short-term prove-it contract in Detroit, which would, to me, I would be ecstatic if that could go down. It might be a bit of a pipe dream, but I would be ecstatic if it went down that way. Houston getting back involved, if that's true, might throw a wrench in this idea, but I would love it.
Well, you're definitely, you want the lesser years, yep. And I can understand that. I mean, the numbers have dropped the last 3 years. So OPS of 820 to 804, down to 768. And the biggest reason that it dropped from the 804 to 768 is the on-base percentage. It dropped 50 points. That's 48 points. That's considerable when it's only at 315 for his on-base percentage this past season. Now, is that a statistical anomalation? His career stats would tell you, yes, that is. However, if he's now north of 30 and he'll be 31 when the season starts, you do have to look at all of that. I'm at the point here where, and again, it's easy to say because it's not my money, mm-hmm. but knowing where the Tigers' payroll is among the grand scheme of payrolls in Major League Baseball, it's not even average. And the numbers will drop in a year or two when Javi's contract goes off the books, and they really don't have many contracts. So why not go ahead and give him the contract, but front load it? Like, if you want to give him a 6 year deal, if he's asking for a 6 year, the only way you get him is to get a 6 year deal done, then do it. But make the first few years, make that painful. Make it $35 million a year for the first 3 years. And then the next 3 years drop, you know, to significantly from that. So it's easier to take when you get to years 4, 5, and 6 and the production doesn't seem to be
you're getting what you
there.
Paid for. I've always been in favor of that. It seems like very rarely, if ever, those kind of contracts get written up that way. But
people are getting more creative now, right? You've got teams now, they're doing a lot of these deferred contracts that the Dodgers are doing. I mean, the Dodgers are buying a World Series. That's just what they're doing. I mean, it's ridiculous what they've done, how they're deferring money to much later in life, and it's just it's got to be really painful if you're a Major League Baseball owner and you're trying to make things happen, and the Dodgers just keep doing what they can do because they have the unfair advantage of where they're at and what their franchise is worth.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, if you're looking for a new car or a used car, you got to check out Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield. They got one of the largest inventories in the area, and you can find exactly what you're looking for, whether it's a sleek new model or one of those reliable pre-owned vehicles. And here's the best part. Guaranteed credit approval. No matter your credit situation, they've got your back. Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield, they're in a perfect location. It's right there at 696 and Telegraph. The giant flagpoles are up there with the American flag. You can't miss it. It makes it real easy for you just to swing by and drive off with your dream car. And if you're short on time, no worries. They'll even bring your new ride right to your doorstep with at-home delivery. And if you're into the latest tech, you're going to be glad to know that Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is one of the top EV dealers in the country, offering cutting-edge electric vehicles that are setting the standard for the future of driving. And best of all, they're open on Saturdays because they know weekends are the best time to shop for your next car. So come see why the Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is the place to go for your next vehicle. Together, let's drive.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. One of our professional athletes posted a video, and it's a video that we're not 100% sure that it's a video of him, but it looks like it might be, and it shows an individual walking what appears to be either late at night or early in the morning, shorts and a t-shirt while on their phone, walking perhaps from a bedroom or a bathroom to a staircase. It is a security video. And the person in the video takes one step onto the stairs and slips, lands on their butt, and proceeds to fall / slide down the stairs. Boom. Boom, 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 boom.
The giant slide?
It looks about as safe as the giant slide, perhaps about as does about as much damage as the giant slide. He gets to the bottom, and when he stops sliding, there's that moment of self-contemplation where he sits there, puts his elbows on his knees on the bottom stair, and thinks about what just happened. The video was posted with the caption, "Had a rough morning," and three laughing face emojis. And it was from a guy who is, I think, had some elite social media posts. Remember the Detroit Lions, Terrion Arnold. Now, is it Terrion Arnold? It very well might be. It might not be Terrion Arnold. And just a tweet that says, "Had a rough morning." Gator, the way his feet slips out from under him,
mm-hmm.
lands on his butt, and goes boom, 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 all the way down the stairs. I have done that. I've done it rather recently.
Oh.
And, well, like not in the last, 3 days, but, in the last couple of years, I did it at our house in the morning. It was dark out, leaving to come in and do the show, and there was laundry on the stairs that some idiot had put there the night before, which was me.
Oh.
because I would fold everybody's laundry while watching TV, and then I would put everybody's pile of laundry on the stairs so that when they go up the stairs, it's conveniently there for them to grab and take up the stairs.
How often does that happen?
Being a parent, what I have discovered is that if you don't say anything to your children, they will leave the laundry on the stairs minimum 7 to 10 days.
Hmm.
They have no interest in picking. Like, they, the fact that it's left on the stairs, their laundry folded to go up the stairs. And so it was about the sixth step. I had one of my kids' laundry, and coming down in the dark, I stepped on it. Foot went out from under me. Bam. Bam, 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 bam. Down to the bottom. So if you haven't seen this, it's Terry Arnold has tweeted it out. It very well could be him. But I think that probably all of us have had this foot slip, land on your butt, and down you go. Have you? You don't have a staircase in your house, do you?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a ranch home.
Kang, have you done this at all?
Of course. If you have carpeted stairs, you've had to have done this at least once in your life.
I mean, it did happen to me once in my previous home, the stairway to the basement.
Did it?
Yeah.
Was that like a wood staircase?
Well, that seems like it would hurt.
Oh, it hurt. It was no. We were like metal and
oh god,
and metal
and vinyl. You know, the steps were vinyl, but there was like metal edging on it. I didn't fall all the way down. I think I took like three. Well, I was close to all the way down. Took like three steps. Take the header, and I guess I fell on my butt and then fell forward. And it was after I'd gotten back from Vegas and I had twisted my ankle in Vegas. And at the same time, I'd also gotten a big burn on my knee from the carpet burn. So when I fell down the stairs this time, the scab came off of my knee.
Oh, good God.
Yeah. Well, you wanted it. You want all the smoke? Here it comes.
No, I didn't realize what we were getting into here.
So there was a patch of scab, quite about a 2x2. 2-inch by 2-inch scab that had fallen off, and I screamed because it hurt so bad. Then I was so pissed at what happened. Then I look at my knee. I'm like, oh, that's not pretty. That's not good.
So first of all, if this is Terry on Arnold in this video, he appears to be okay. No long-term damage. There have been stories of athletes falling down the stairs and hurting themselves. But at this point, I think we can all kind of relate to what happened there with Therrien. It's on his Twitter account. I guess it's on his Instagram as well. But is it Therrien? It might be. It also might not be. Can kids fall downstairs? They all fall down the stairs. Have you had a kid go tumble down the stairs?
Of course not, Doug. I'm the perfect father. But for those that have,
this is why you wear a helmet.
Yeah,
this is why you should wear a helmet.
I mean, honestly, when the kids are real little, it's like one of my fears, personally, at least, you know, when they start, you know, walking and then running, you're like, all right, be careful, be careful.
Yep.
Be careful. And then even then, after that, I mean, they get old enough.
Get the child gates set up so they
don't
go downstairs.
Yeah, we used to have them. Yeah. Uh-huh. Luckily for us, we actually have like a staircase that has two entries, like one that goes to the front door, one goes to the kitchen. So there's like a little landing area in the middle, so it makes it so it's not as steep.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so that gives me some, you know, some calmness. But, yeah, the kids, they don't care. It's a race. You remember going up the stairs, like bear crawling up the stairs? Like, oh, man, this is like just part of the obstacle course of life, right?
It's the only time bear crawling was fun was when you were a kid going up the stairs.
Dude, I still do it sometimes.
But like, you're in a real
hurry?
I'm
like, Jackie, watch this.
Okay. In case I ever end up on one of those, like, Wipeout or one of those shows, I'm practicing honing my skills.
But I found that kids like to, it's not that they would slip and fall. It's they like to jump stairs. Hey, I just jumped 5 stairs. I'm going to try for 6. Dude. Hey, I just tried 6. I'm going to try for 7.
Yeah. Well, my kids are real young. So they're like 6 and 3. They're jumping stairs hoping I catch them every time. And I'm like, we're getting to the point where, listen, I'm losing athleticism by the minute, okay? So you're taking a chance here.
Do we even know? We haven't confirmed. Nobody's confirmed that this actually is Terrien Arnold, right?
I assume it's him, but it doesn't really look. It's like a black and white video, too, yeah, right?
It's so like a security video. It's like a camera.
And he's got a new hairstyle, too. I'm like, is that Therrien?
Well, if you want to check it out, it's been tweeted from our account.
Is that winter Therrien or is that summer Therrien?
I got to tell you.
It's off-season Therrien right now.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
You can check it out at Doug and Gator 971 if you haven't seen the video. But feedback coming in on this, This is from Twitch. Johnny B. Good says, we have all fallen and felt that pain that just makes you sit there and ponder everything. Wrigley's mom says, I fell down a flight of carpeted stairs twice 28 years ago and I have a permanent neck injury because of it. Worst thing that's ever happened to me. FBG25 says, kids are slinkies. They are made to fall downstairs. Koi Boy 1 says, these are trust falls, Kang. Yeah, kids put a lot of faith in their parents when
way
it comes
too much.
To, yeah, like to just like jumping from the fifth stair towards you. And you're like, whoa! Well, indeed, if it's Tyrion, we hope he's okay. He continues to be a funny follow on social media. 248-539-9797. All right, coming up today at 11:35, Tom McClellan says, it's the biggest surprise in the Red Wing room. Hear who he said that is. That is next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Trying to find who made this observation, and it is kind of funny. Pete Carroll gets the Raiders job today, and it is pointed out that back in 1994, Pete Carroll was the head coach of the Jets when the Jets drafted Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn named the head coach of the Jets. Pete Carroll, who drafted Aaron Glenn to the Jets back in 1994, has been named the head coach of the Raiders. I don't know how significant that is. It sounds awfully wild.
Here's what I like about Pete Carroll getting back into football is he's going to the AFC West, which means he gets to renew a rivalry with Jim Harbaugh. That is kind of fun. Those two did not like each other when they were at USC and Stanford, respectively. So I think this is...
Think about the coaches.
And then it's San Francisco and in Seattle.
Think about the resumes of the coaches and all the championships that they have in that division alone.
20 conference championship appearances and 8 Super Bowl appearances between Andy Reid, Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and Pete Carroll.
Multiple NCAA titles. Carroll and Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's some impressive resumes. That's the AFC's toughest division, and we are in the NFC's toughest division.
And multiple NCAA sanctions, too. That's right, Kang. Thank you.
But still an awfully impressive group. By the way, my observation that Pete Carroll looks like Dan Dickerson, is that, does everybody think that? Or
yeah,
is that,
okay. 100%.
All right, just making sure.
And a little bit of Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, too.
He looks like every lead actor in a Cialis commercial.
Little Richard Gere.
Pete Carroll does?
Yeah, like he just got out of a tub in the middle of the forest with his wife, and it's, the time is right. The time is right.
Not with his wife. Well, his wife is in an adjacent tub.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah, and they're holding hands.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's what you want to do in a tub after you've got a boner pill. let me sit by myself. I mean, did that make any sense? I'm raging over here. I'll tell you what, let's just hold hands.
Pete, do you understand how this works?
I grabbed the wrong gum.
Wait, I thought we just asked for the one tub. We got two?
Is that his shirt off in interviews?
What am I supposed to do with this?
I'm going to sit in the tub until the TV cameras go away.
Right. I thought it was gum.
Anyway. All right, so let's get into this Red Wing game last night. Nice win. Come out of their funk, shot barrage, 40-something shots. Dylan Larkin in his 700th game took 9 shots on net. His previous season high was 7. There were a couple of great goals. We already talked about Lucas Raymond's pass to DeBrincat, where the only two people on the ice that knew that DeBrincat had the puck were Lucas Raymond and DeBrincat himself. The Bergeron goal was ridiculous. That puck was down in his skates. And to be able to put that shot on the far post, upper corner, was incredible. Where that puck was laying was unbelievable.
I am more impressed with what a hockey player can do skill-wise than any other professional athlete out there because of the speed that they have to do it because they're moving typically.
Yep.
And the speed that others around them are moving. You've got a stick and you're trying to corral a puck. I'm amazed what they can do. And that was incredible. it's a wonder to see. And, you know, with DeBrincat's goal last night, it gives him 20 on the season. Remember this, not too long ago, much maligned team with their offense and what they were doing, and then people started to pick it up. Lucas Raymond wasn't scoring goals to start the season. Now he's got 19, and he's got 52 points in 48 games, better than point a game. Dylan Larkin scored his 21st last night. Now he's got 45 points in the 48 games. DeBrincat's got the 20 goals in the 48 games. That's great. Those three guys are lighting the lamp. They need others.
Yeah, they need more support scoring, right?
Yeah. I mean, Patrick Kane was picking it up. He's been like point of game pace for the last couple weeks here, but he's out with the upper body injury. We'll see if he comes back when they resume action, I think tomorrow. I don't know if it's tomorrow night against Tampa or whenever that is. But Tarasenko's got to pick it up. He got moved to the top line, or the second line, I guess, with the injury to Kane, and picked up an assist last night in a power play. Guys like Compher and Kopp, you know, Kasper's got a little bit of a pulse now. But it feels like everybody else has to elevate their game a little bit here, because if you want to be that playoff team, you can't just be a one-line team or a two-line team. You need more than that.
You know, going back to what you started and how you the way you started this, what you were saying there is that hockey players impress you more with their skill than anybody else. Look, I played baseball growing up, played soccer growing up, played basketball growing up, started playing hockey I was 30 when I started playing hockey. So, you know, picked up in the Never Ever League, which if you've ever wanted to do it, it's a great place to learn. And a lot of facilities have these Never Ever Leagues with a bunch of guys out there that are basically walking on skates, but like throw them into the fire and see what happens. And invariably there'll be one guy that played Never Ever the year before that'll be better than everybody. but it's great, you know, learn to play kind of stuff. I should do this for every sport. I should do what I do for hockey for every sport, but every single time I'm in person at a hockey game, I will watch, then I will go, "Well, that guy's good. Wow, that guy's good too. Oh, that guy's good. Oh, that guy's good." Everybody's good. All these professional athletes in every sport.
Right, you're right.
They're all good. But when I go to watch a hockey game, I am blown away with the talent and the skill level when I should be as blown away in basketball. I should be as blown away in baseball. I should be as blown away in every professional sport. But at hockey, I am in awe. And, you know, I don't think I was particularly great at anything. So it's not like there's a huge gulf between, well, I was actually close in this, that, or the other. I wasn't.
Well, it's like so
I'm amazed.
Every sport, clearly, the athletes are unbelievable. You know, in football, you've got a running back who makes a cut, a wide receiver makes a cut, and it looks incredible, right? And then they go. Basketball, same thing. You know, you can fake somebody out of their jock, do the crossover, whatever. You play above the rim. It's awesome. But in hockey, it's not like one move and you're done. It's like they have to do a series of moves within a second while trying to dangle the puck at the same. I'm just blown away by what they're able to do. And it's not like I'm not blown away by the other athletes. It's just hockey seems like it's different because you're playing on a sheet of ice on blades of steel.
They're all tough. They all take an immense amount of talent. And I'm in awe of hockey players more than anybody else in that Bergeron goal last night, the Lucas Raymond pass. I mean, even there was a cop on the shorty.
Yeah.
Was ridiculous. I'm so used to those not being finished. It came at a very, very good time. Red Wings took a 2-0 lead and held Montreal Bay the rest of the way. And when Montreal pulled the goalie, like it was like the last 3.5 minutes of the game in the Red Wings zone.
Well, this is true. Yeah, the Red Wings just couldn't get possession of it. What was interesting, I think there were maybe 8 minutes left, somewhere in that range, and it looked like the Red Wings scored to go up by 3, and then it was immediately waved off. They said it was goaltender interference, and the Red Wings challenged it. And the challenge rule in the NHL is really interesting because it's so punitive if you get it wrong. You don't lose a timeout. You go on the penalty kill. It becomes a delay of game penalty if you're wrong. And the last two times I've seen the Red Wings challenge, they've been wrong, and they've had to go on in a shorthanded situation, and both times they were able to kill the penalty. That's a turning point last night. That's a very tricky situation. Yeah, with
you don't
when
want
he
to be wrong.
It. Like
you
you're either
going to
be up
wrong.
By three, or you have potential go down by, you know, just be up by one if you give up the power play goal. I'm not sure I would have done that in that situation with that much time left on the clock to try to, you know, if you're wrong, you're putting your team shorthanded. But McCullen's got a belief in his team and thought that if there was no goaltender interference, there was, and they had to kill a penalty.
All right, so they did, and go on to the 4-2 win, much-needed win. And look, he said after the game, this was a test. They got swept by Montreal back in December, back-to-back nights, and he wanted to see if they've really come a long way. And that's how he challenged his team, and the team responded after not playing very well, at least in the offensive end, the last three games. But after the game, asked the question, actually, I don't know if the question was asked, but the topic came up, who's been the biggest surprise since you've taken over? Here's what Todd McClellan said. So he hadn't played much in the month of December.
Nope, only four games.
Okay, and McClellan took over when? Like it was late December, right?
Yeah, it was late December. I'm just looking at his game log because he played December 23rd against St. Louis and they lost 4-0, and then he played again. The next game wasn't until January 4th, and he was part of a 4-game win streak. So I'm guessing he missed the first three games. It would have been four games that McClellan had taken over. He didn't play in the first few of those.
Okay. And they put him in the lineup and
they start winning. They won four straight and five out of six.
So they'd won three in a row when he got put in the lineup?
Four in a row.
No, I mean, they had won three in a row. Yeah. He came in the middle of that. And has he played in every game since?
I think he has.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. His last 17 games, he's +2, which isn't great, but it's not bad when you consider, you know, which pairing he is. It's not like he's a top two pair defenseman. So on that third pair, he's out there and it could be a mismatch for you, but he's +2. And he's been, you know, even for the last two months, which is good for that type of defenseman, but he's improved. And he was a guy that we wanted to see more of. And when he was the guy they had to make their mind up in the offseason. What are they going to do with him? He's either going to be on the roster or you got to expose him. Well, they weren't going to expose him. He's on the roster and he needed to play. And for whatever reason, he wasn't playing in October. He only played four games in November. Four games in October, and he played like 10 games in November, and then four games in December. It's a guy that I thought should have, if you're going to go with the younger players, let him play. You know, particularly when you're seeing guys out there that leave a lot to be desired defensively. People complain about Petrie all the time, and rightfully so, and now Justin Hall is the guy that people are complaining about, and rightfully so. Let Johansson get out there and, you know, earn his stripes there. Let him play. Let him make some mistakes and get better. And that's what's happened. He's gotten better. He's gotten steadier. Edvinson's the same way.
Well,
but Edvinson's playing every night, and he looks really good.
Coach likes him. 248-539-9797. Red Wing fans, back on the winning track. You want to keep the conversation going, feel free. In the noon hour, Gator, some venting, if you will, and another edition of Are You Going to Eat That? Here on 97.1, The Ticket. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents, which is why if me or someone in my family gets an auto or truck accident, I'll send them to my guy Steve. And find folks at Michigan Auto Law. They have the largest auto accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. Same thing with truck accidents as well. And there's a level of care that comes with Michigan Auto Law attorneys. It's more like white glove service, which includes callbacks within 24 hours. They care more, so you win more. That's the deal. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hysterical screw up. So the challenge, of course, is, you know, learning early that it's J-O-N-A-T-A-N. It's not Jonathan. It's Jonathan.
This is correct.
Yes. Which I got that. But Bergeron, for some reason, I go Bergeron last segment. I'm not quite sure what that
and
was.
And I let it go unchecked.
You're
Kenny, man.
The Jonathan thing is what gives people problems. But I Bergeron the Bergeron. What the hell was that?
That was tough to hear.
Yeah.
I was behind here going, I know, because everybody does it. Yep. We all make mistakes with pronunciation. But I'm like, it's
Bergeron. Dude, and yet, and
Soderblom.
I can get Jonathan right. But whatever. It was a sick goal. In the meantime.
Sick goal, bro. We got to text it, bro, stop calling him Bergeron.
I know. I don't know where that came from.
It's a gold burger time.
Down on the skates, got a far post. Very timely, too. Okay. So, Gator, Sunday is, you know how we have national days of this and that?
Yeah.
There's one that people are probably going to think Doug is way in on, and I'm not. Sunday is National Green Juice Day. Green juice.
What, like Ecto Cooler from High C?
Ooh, I'm in on that.
I love that.
Still,
are you surprised, Doug?
I haven't had an Ecto Cooler in forever.
Since last night for dinner?
No, it's been a long time. Dinner? I don't know how many years. I don't know.
I'm intrigued what Gator thinks a long time it is to have it between Ecto Coolers.
15, 20 years? I don't know when the last time I had an Ecto Cooler.
It's possible you had one 15 years ago?
It's possible.
Okay.
I've got friends that got kids. What do you want me to do?
But this wouldn't be any kind of healthy, like, green, you know, juice of any kind.
You don't think Ecto Cooler is healthy? For the fine folks that make High C, you don't think they're
so? Yeah. Come on, Doug.
What are you looking more like?
It's the healthiest of the Ectos.
Right. Ectoplasm. You know, ectoskeleton. So... You're looking at more along the lines of something that's kale based.
Throw some spinach, like some parsley. pressed
green apple.
Yeah,
is that wheatgrass or something?
Right.
Yeah. So I got all in on the they've got these detox smoothies at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Yeah, I'm gonna go for it. Yeah, this looks good. It's probably good for you. The Island Green.
Yeah, you like that?
No, I don't. No? I tried it, but I didn't.
Not a fan, huh?
No, the detox thing can be good if you've had a particularly rough Friday night and it's Saturday morning and your kid's got a game and you have to be at the field at 7:30 in the morning.
You think it works?
Well, I don't think it doesn't work. I think it was a decent hangover cure.
Okay. You think it was, or have you tried it as a
hangover? No, I've tried it. Okay. I've tried it, yeah. Right. Yeah, I would do that again, but it's only like, hey, I've got an emergency.
Because I would think you wouldn't really feel the effects of something like that unless you took it on a daily basis. Not that you got liquored up on a daily basis, but like detox to me is like getting the toxins out of your body, not necessarily from alcohol. And it takes a while for that process to really
flush your system out.
Yeah,
right?
It's going to take a few days.
Yep. Yeah, one doesn't get the job done. But
you were one and done, though.
Yeah, it's emergency break glass. I don't feel so good. You know, but you're hungry, and so you're going for like the super veggie pressed smoothie or whatever it might be. Have you ever had one of those?
No.
No. Do you like any green foods?
Yes.
Like?
Love spinach.
Okay. Where would avocado rank?
I love avocado.
Okay.
Avocado's high. Yeah.
You like guac, right?
Love guac, but I mean, you're just avocado. You throw that, you know, avocado toast, right? It's delicious.
All right. I'm intrigued here. Cucumber.
Yes. I have cucumbers in the house right now. I love cucumbers.
It's a very refreshing vegetable.
Yes. Lots of water-based.
How about mint? Like any kind of mint?
Yes.
Are you a fan of mint?
Throw it in a mint julep. Yeah. I mean, mint is something, it's typically...
Thin mints.
Yeah, it's thin mints. My favorite kind. Yeah.
Favorite kind of
mint? Thin mint.
Healthy food. Yeah.
Thin mints. I'll be thin mint, Bob. Yeah, but I mean, mint, not so much as it relates to food, but obviously as a in a drink, yes. But I don't usually throw mint in like with chicken or something like that. Mint chicken or something. I don't even know what the hell you would throw, but... Recipe calls for mint. There are obviously
some people hate chocolate chip mint ice cream or mint chocolate chip ice cream.
I think it's great.
People go, it tastes like toothpaste to me.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, then the other green that I like that half the nation hates is cilantro.
Because it tastes like soap?
Either you say it tastes like soap or you think it's an amazing
addition. I do like it, and I do understand. Like when somebody pointed out, I don't like cilantro, it tastes like soap. I'm like having it. I'm like, it kind of does taste like soap, but I still like it. Kiwi.
No.
You're no on kiwi.
No on kiwi. It's kind of gross looking, and it just the texture of it, a little slimy. I just
might be the texture thing for you.
Yeah.
I'll say this about kiwi is the reward isn't worth the consistent amount of work it takes to get like to the good part of the kiwi. You either have to get out the peeler, or you got to cut it up. And I'm like, God, it is good once you get there, but I'm like, I don't want to work this hard, which is pathetic.
It's not that hard. It's not like pomegranate.
No, pomegranate is another one. Mango looks like
it's work, but isn't pomegranate, don't you just cut it in half and then tap it?
The seeds within them, right, Doug? I mean, yeah. I don't know what you call them.
They're like housing.
Yeah.
You got to get it out of the housing to get to the good part of the pomegranate. There's multiple levels that you have to work. It's like a puzzle. I got to take this puzzle apart. At the end, I'm too exhausted to eat the pomegranate. But no, I'm a big kiwi guy. Anything else? The green food?
You're the one listing off the greens. So I mean, what else? What else you got?
Celery? Celery sticks?
Okay, so I do. My wife hates celery.
It's just a vessel for blue cheese, so yeah.
Yeah, right?
I mean, in that aspect, sure.
Did you just ask me if I like blue cheese?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, do I like dip? Yeah, I like dip just fine.
Do you put peanut butter? You ever put the peanut butter in the celery?
Sure, right? Yeah, that's
good. Buffalo chicken dip?
There you go. Are you talking? Crab dip? That'd be good with celery.
Really?
I'm intrigued because whenever we talk our way through all these food topics, there's a somewhat of a difference between what I like and what Gator likes. Kang shades towards Gator, but as a dad... Do you feed your kids the stuff that I would feed your kids, or do you feed them what you want?
No, I mean, we're at their mercy at this point. They run the household. We try to hide. You know, we do what other parents do. We try to mask, you know, vegetables into their food. I'm actually lucky. My older one, the six-year-old, she actually likes tomatoes. She likes cucumbers. She likes spinach. So...
That's
broccoli.
Good. That's a good start.
Yeah,
right.
I don't even have to.
I like broccoli.
They're broccoli. That's another one.
I like broccoli and I like asparagus.
You like broccoli and cheese, right?
Asparagus is good. asparagus is really good. We just got this one from Daniel on Twitter.
I like Brussels sprouts.
Daniel on Twitter writes, Doug, I eat green foods. Jelly Belly brand watermelon flavored jelly beans are green and they're arguably the best flavor in the lineup. If I were to go with a
green apple Jolly Rancher,
green apple Jolly Ranchers are so good. I love green apple Jolly Ranchers. Haven't had one in years, but back in the day when we were in safety patrol and you got rewarded candy for being in safety patrol, I would load up on the
safety patrol.
They were the kids with the yellow.
Oh, crossing guard type
stand,
stuff?
Yeah, I would stand there with your arms up when there were cars coming and then let the kids... It was a power trip for us, you know, a nine-year-old. But you'd get paid in...
Sounds kind of dangerous.
Paid in candy. And I was a green apple Jolly Rancher guy. I would go after those.
Like lime-flavored stuff?
So I've never liked lime-flavored stuff until the seltzers came along. And then it's, and now it's my go-to high noon. It's my go-to white clam. That's intentional, people, just so you know.
Not like the red
Bergeron one. Bergeron was not.
I like Burger Time.
Burger Time. Gator.
White clam is totally intentional.
I bet you like this, Gator. Bok choy.
Yeah, I mean, I like, so if it's, I think I've only had it at like a Japanese steakhouse.
But like, it can come with like sea bass, and I know you love sea bass.
Yeah, I do love sea bass. Yeah, I they're surprising. I like a lot of vegetables. I do. I like some crappy stuff, perhaps more. I just, bread. I got a problem with bread. Bread and cheese. It's the biggest problem.
248-539-9797. Feedback coming in on Alex Bregman. We will get to that today at 12:02. And then the
Thin Mints.
The most annoying one in the category will explain in the noon hour. And are you going to eat that coming up as well? It is Carson Anderson on 97.1.